Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Life Church of Bartlesville. We pray that as you listen today, you will enjoy the ministry and receive life from God's Word.
Father, we love you this morning. We're so grateful that you sent your Son. Today, may we hear from you. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. May you teach through me, and if need be, may you teach in spite of me. Speak to the hearts of these people. They're precious to you, Lord. Thank you that they've been obedient to come here today. May we honor you. Holy Spirit, may we receive from you today. And may it make a difference in our lives to the point that when we go out, we influence others. We make a difference in this world. We leave behind us a legacy. We thank you for that. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say again a special welcome. If you're a guest with us today, we welcome you. It's so wonderful to have you here. We're honored. We're blessed. There are four things that we desire to do in this church. Number one is to reach the unchurched. If that's you, welcome. We're glad you're here. Number two, we desire to worship with passion. We did a little bit of that this morning. Maybe that's new to you. Maybe you're not familiar with that. Can I encourage you that it's something that God desires from you because you were created to worship Him? And may I encourage you in this regard, as you do, you'll experience something new and fresh within like you may never experience before. Because there's something about worshiping God that does something in us. Because it's how we were wired. It's what we were to do. Number three, our heart's desire and what we're about to do is to teach for transformation. I don't want to share some information with you. Probably a lot of what I'll share with you today you may have already heard. You say, I didn't need to get up and come to church for that. I already knew that. But no, our desire is that what you hear today will change your life. And here's what I know. God's word is powerful. It's alive. It's not just ink on paper. It's spirit. It's strength. It's encouragement. It's everything you'll ever need. And if you'll allow it to come into your mind and into your heart, it will change you. From the inside out. And then lastly, may you leave here today and make a difference in our community. May you leave here today and make a difference in this world because we want to love with action. That's our last premise that we like to do here. We want to love with action. Now, today is a very special day. How do you know it's a special day? I dressed up. About dressed up as I get. Now, it's a special day because today is a day we honor Kyle and Liz as they launch out to Kansas City and start a great new church called The Cause. And we're excited. We're happy for them. We did really good in the first service. We only cried a little bit. I thought we'd really be crying. I actually came prepared. I brought a hanky just in case. Never carry a hanky, but thought I might need it today. Kyle needs it. Here, go back. We love you guys, and we're so thankful that you're here and able to be a part with us and to join in with us. But I want to talk to you today about legacy. And as we talk about Kyle and Liz moving on and stepping out into a whole new dimension and dynamic in their life, I want to encourage you, what new dimensions and dynamics does God have for your life? What new steps of faith could you step out in that not only will make a world of difference for you and you'll learn the true adventure of how exciting it is to walk with God. You know, my life's metaphor is life is an assignment because God has given me many different assignments through the years. Linda's, however, is life is an adventure. Been to what, 115 now? 115 nations and still counting. Of course, as fast as they keep making new nations, she's got to hurry up and speed up. But life is an adventure. And you know, God wants you to enjoy life. I think far too many people exist and they really don't live. They just put in time, they take up space, they breathe air, they make a mess, they get in your way, they cause you to go slower in traffic than you like. All these things, why are they here? God's called us for a purpose. He's ordained us unto this hour. You're not even here today by chance. You may think you are, but I believe with all my heart that you're men and women of destiny. God's ordained for you to be here. And God has a great plan for your life. And we want to help you try to discover that and to move on and become everything God desired for you to be. As I've been reflecting and thinking about Kyle and Liz stepping out and moving on, I've also been reflecting quite a bit of late about my pastor, Billy Joe Doherty, and his going on to heaven, honestly and frankly, prematurely. Pastor Billy Joe's younger than I am. But God called me into the ministry, but it was Pastor Billy Joe Doherty who encouraged me and received me, and Linda gave us our first ministry assignment back in 1979. We've been together with them in one dimension or another all these years, and we'll continue to be very supportive of Sharon and the family and the Victory Church in Tulsa. But that morning that Pastor Doherty passed away, that Sunday morning just a few weeks ago, I came and, rather emotionally charged, I shared with you about it, shared my heart with you about it, and then I challenged you and I encouraged you that we, not only me, but all of us as Life Church, that we would carry on his legacy, that we would carry on and be honoring of a man who laid down his life for others, a man who was selfless, gave of himself so wonderfully well, and did so many wonderful things and influenced so many people. And I challenged you and said, let's honor him by our going ahead as Life Church is really an outreach of Pastor Billy Joe Doherty and Victor Christian Center in Tulsa. And later that day, I got an email from one of you, from Jody and Don Shahan, and I asked them if I could share it with you, and so I want to read this to you. Pastor Mark, I just wanted to tell you that the Shahans will carry on Pastor Billy Joe's legacy. We have never sat in one of his services or even read one of his books. But through you, he has had a profound impact on our lives. And we will pass that on to our daughter and anyone else that will listen to us. We have grown more in the last few years at Life Church than we ever did before. It can only be a God thing that somebody we had never had any contact with has had such an influence on our lives. I thank God that Pastor Billy Joe followed God's plan in his life so that you could follow his plan for yours and lead me farther on in mine. I'm sorry for your loss, and I hurt because you hurt, but I will continue to fight the fight with you and the rest of Life Church. A legacy continues on. Definition is a gift by will or bequest. Something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or a predecessor. I want to encourage you to pay some attention to that word predecessor. It just simply means someone that has preceded you, someone that has gone on before you, someone who has maybe blazed a path before you that enabled you and I to walk in it. See, the predecessor really in my life is my Aunt Leota. That's a funny name, isn't it? We thought so too as a kid, and we teased her about it. But Aunt Leota was the first of all the Turners to become a Christ follower. Aunt Leota then shared the good news of what it means to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his son, with all of her family. And a lot of her brothers and sisters became Christ followers. Her mother and father, my grandparents, Fred and Nevada, another funny name, but they became Christ followers. And all their lives changed. And because of Aunt Leota and my mother's prayer and my Aunt Donna, who tried to teach me the Bible, read more about her on my blog, she's my favorite aunt, it impacted my life. You see, I'm a part of their legacy. I'm a part of Aunt Leota's legacy, a part of Aunt Donna's legacy, a part of my mother's legacy. And there are many, many people, related and non-related, that can be and should be a part of our legacy, each and every one of us. I pray that as I go on through my life, that there are people behind me that will follow after Christ with everything within because they see me being obedient to God. You see, in my obedience to leave the business world and pursue ministry and come to Tulsa, it positioned me to be able to be invited by Pastor Billy Joe Doherty to become a part of what is now Victory Christian Center and help him raise the Christian school and the Bible Institute and so many other aspects of the ministry. And then because of him, I was able to go on and help ministries all over the world because he endorsed me. He blazed a trail before me and he invited me. Now we're here. And our sphere of influence for this season and for Lord only knows how long is in this community and beyond. And now our influence is expanding to Kansas City, and where else will it expand to? Because that's a part of our legacy. Who's going to be next? Who's going to be the next couple that we're going to launch out? Who's going to be the next person that's going to become a missionary? Who's going to be the next person that's going to step out and say, I'll do it. I'll step up. Who's going to be the next one to go back and train our children in the way that they should go? I challenge the praise and worship team today that they need to be raising up a whole new generation of musicians, a whole new generation. I told Anthony, our drummer, I said, Anthony, you need to go back in the back and you got to find the wildest kid that's back there, the one that's beating on the tables all the time, the one that drives his parents wild because he won't stop. And make him the best drummer we've ever known. Why? It's a part of who we are. We're to go before. We're to blaze a trail. We're to be the predecessors for someone else. We're to lead the way. Listen to this. Immortality lies not in the things that you leave behind. The things that you leave behind. But it's in the people your life is touched. All of us will influence others. All of our life, how will we influence them? What will we do? What will we say? How will we be a blessing? Will we be a blessing to them? I found this verse in Romans chapter 9, and it so typifies the character of God and how much he loves you as a person. God doesn't count us. He calls us by name. Arithmetic is not his focus. Isaiah had looked ahead and spoken the truth. If our powerful God had not provided us a legacy of living children, we would have ended up like ghost towns, like Sodom and Gomorrah. How could they miss it? Because instead of trusting God, they took over, self-ruled, and they were absorbed in what they themselves were doing. Aren't you glad you're not just a number to God? Aren't you glad that you're a name? Aren't you glad that God knows your name? Some of you, he's calling right now. I heard it over here. Zach, number 13 on the Bartlesville Bruins. But Zach, what about if all of your life, all we said was, 13, come over here. 13, you need to go do this. What if mom and dad just said, 13, get up. 13, it's time to eat. The rest of your life, you're just 13. No, you're Zach. And not only do mom and dad know you by name, God knows you by name. And God loves you. And just like Zach, all the rest of you, God's got a plan for you. A purpose, a special purpose. We need to awaken unto that because of what God has for us. But even beyond that, what God has behind us, the legacy that we can leave. Some of you have some of the most precious children in all the world. In fact, all your children are precious, but I mean, there's just something special. I love your children. I feel like Pastor Pawpaw That's me. In fact, one of the little girls made me Christmas cookies this week. She stirred it herself. Isn't that wonderful? I love Christmas cookies. That's a not so subtle hint. I really would like some Christmas cookies. God is a generational God. How many times in Scripture do we hear these terms? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Why? Because God thinks generationally. How do we think? I don't know that we think generationally that much. Most of us, I think, are focused on one life, one lifetime. And unfortunately, that life is us. And we're so focused and so consumed with our life and what we're going to do in our life. How short-sighted are we that we lose sight of an eternal perspective, we lose sight of an entire world, and we lose sight of other people when, in fact, God created us to be with others and to give of our lives to others. His word says, if you'll give of your life, you'll receive it back. How much influence will you have on the lives of others? In my study this week, I came across an example I thought I'd share with us. Some of you know of this person from history. His name is Jonathan Edwards, early American leader. But this famous early American pastor, writer, and at one time the president of Princeton University, he and his wife had 11 children. And of his known descendants, more than 300 of them became pastors, missionaries, and theological professors. 120 of them were professors at various universities. Another 110 became attorneys. 60 were prominent authors. 30 were judges. 14 became presidents of universities or colleges. 3 served in the U.S. Congress. And 1 became vice president of the United States. What an influence Jonathan Edwards had. Here's my question. What influence are you having? You say, well, that's different. He was a great leader. Hey, wait a minute. No one's saying that you need to be comparing with Jonathan Edwards. The question is, are you doing everything that God's called you to do so that you give someone else that chance to be what God's called them to be? Or are they being hindered because you're not walking in the obedience of what God has for you? You see, we have a responsibility to the next generation, to the next generation, and to the next generation. David did this with his son Solomon. It won't go up on the screen, but let me just share it with you. David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced. And the house that he needs to build, which was the temple for God, it must be exceedingly magnificent of fame and glory throughout all the land. So I will therefore make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Before David died, he accumulated all the building materials and all the money that his son would need to be able to build the temple. He left a legacy. He made it possible for Solomon to do what God called him to do because David did what he was supposed to do. So the question is, will you do what you're supposed to do so that those behind you, whether they're their natural children or spiritual children, will be able to do what God's asked them to do? It's up to us, isn't it? What kind of legacy are we going to leave? Do you even think about it? I want to challenge you today when you go out of here, you will think about it and think about it, but more importantly, you will do something about it. You will change. You will change the way you think. You'll change the way you behave. You see, I think you'll change decisions that you'll make on the basis of how will this affect Avery? How will this affect Zach? How will this affect my child? Maybe my grandchild. How will this affect them? My decision will influence them one way or the other. Even Jesus had someone that went before him. You know who it was? It was his cousin. His name was John. We know him more as John the Baptist. I don't know why he got to be a Baptist. I didn't know there were Baptists back then, but he's a Baptist. He was an unusual guy. I don't know that the Baptists would like him too much. He wore unusual clothes, ate unusual food. Of course, that's sort of doctrine. That's sort of Baptist doctrine, though. Feed them, they will come. That's the Baptist. That's what they do. John is the man to whom scriptures refer when they say, "Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you." Even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, had someone that went before him, and a part of John the Baptist's legacy was, "I prepared the way for Jesus." How cool is that? Who do you prepare the way for? Do you even think about the fact that you're preparing the way for someone? You are. Which way are you preparing for them? Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Don't you see that children are God's best gift? The fruit of the womb is his generous legacy." Paul, the apostle, had a son. Not a natural son. Spiritual son. And today I'm going to share some scriptures from Paul's writing to Timothy for my natural son and daughter that are also my spiritual son and daughter. But one of the things that Paul wrote to his son in the faith expresses how significant and how important Timothy's legacy was, where he came from, who preceded him. I love this. Paul said, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother and your mother, and I know that same faith continues strong in you." Let me stop for a moment. Moms, particularly single moms, don't be discouraged that there's not a dad there encouraging and helping to leave a legacy. You just do the best you can by the grace of God. And you know what? By the grace of God is plenty good enough. God's grace is sufficient. Single moms, he'll help you through. And he'll enable you to do everything you need to do. We've got some great single moms in this church that love their kids, bring them here to church. I don't know where dad is. In the natural, I'd slap the far out of him. But that's another deal. I won't go there. But here's Paul. No mention of granddad. No mention of dad. Just mom and grandma. And it's because of mom and grandma's faith, Paul says, "Hey, Timothy, you can do it. Hey, Timothy, that same faith I saw in grandma, I see it in you." And then he says, "This is why I want to remind you, Timothy, my son. Fan those flames of that spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but power, love, and a self-discipline, a sound mind." I want to say that to you today. There is no fear. It's a spirit that's not from God. And may God help you remind yourself of the fact that you have a sound mind, that you have power, that you have love. You know, maybe you don't have anyone that's gone before you. Maybe you're like my Aunt Leota. Maybe you're the first generation of Christ followers that's ever occurred in your family. Can I encourage you in this? Then pave the way for those that will follow you. Be a pioneer. You're a brand new creation. You have a new bloodline. You have the bloodline of an overcomer. You have the bloodline of a champion. Leave a legacy of impact, of true accomplishment. One that doesn't rust or burn, but one that has eternal value. Romans 12 says it this way, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." then you will learn to know God's will for you. And that will is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. Guys, leave a great legacy. Think about it. Think about it. Don't walk out of here today and just get back into the same old, same old. What kind of stupid statement is that anyway? What the heck does that mean? Don't get into the routine of this is just what I do. This is my plot in life. This is, it's like Eeyore. You're not an Eeyore. Matthew 16 says it this way. Whoever is bent on saving his temporary life, or in other words, this life that we know here on earth, his life of comfort and security here on earth, he'll lose his eternal life. That's not good. And whoever lets go of his life, in other words, who says, God, life is a gift. You gave it to me. It's not my right. I'm not in charge. You created me for a plan and a purpose, and I know that your plan and purpose is better than anything I could think of. So I'm going to let go of this life as I think I'm in charge of, and I'm going to say, God, I want to live the life that you have for me. And because of that, you'll find everlasting life. Let me close with this. I want to encourage you to think generationally. I want to encourage you to think globally. And I want to encourage you to think eternally. If you'll do that, I'm convinced you'll leave a great legacy. You may never even know about the people that you've touched. The people that you've touched that then have touched others and have touched others and have touched others. You won't even know it. Just like Jody's and Dawn and Chloe's life have been touched by Pastor Billy Joe Doherty, even though he never met them. They never met him, but he influenced their life. Your life can influence others in the same way. I think of Lucas sitting down here in about the fourth row, one of the greatest baristas Starbucks has ever had. Lucas came to me one day when I was down there studying and working on some things. He said, is it true you're a pastor? I don't know what my behavior was that would cause him to question it like that, but whatever. I said, yeah, I am. He said, well, some of the others had told me. There's about 8 baristas that worship with us here, I think. It's my mission field. He said, can I talk to you? I said, sure. And we talked a few times, and he shared with me some very tragic things that had happened in his life and how it really messed with him. All I did was just encourage him, invite him, and he came. And then he came again. Then Mom and Dad got wondering, what in the world's going on? Lucas is going to church. So we better come. Check this out. I guess they decided we're not a cult. Now Lucas is getting ready to go to Kansas City with Kyle and Liz, fulfilling his destiny, walking out a plan that God has ordained. Why? Because somebody went to Starbucks. So my word for you is, go to Starbucks. No. My word for you is go wherever you're supposed to go. But when you go, be open and willing to share whatever you have in your heart to share. I don't care where it is. Be the person God's called you to be so that the people behind you can be the people they've been called to be. It's all about legacy. We're God's own workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus, that we may do those good works which God planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Let's purpose to live a legacy that has a lasting value. What would it look like if everyone in this congregation, everyone that's here today, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, every one of us were to live our life with that kind of purpose? What kind of legacy could all of us leave? What kind of a path? You know how a boat, when it goes through the water, you know, it makes a wake and it just goes out and out. What kind of wake could we make with all of us going together? What kind of ripple effect would that have in the world today? I think it's rather amazing. You know what? I think we should do it. How many want to do it with me? How many want to leave a legacy that's eternal, that has true value to it, that has significance to it? You know, it all starts with you making that first step, just like my Aunt Leota did. It all starts by becoming a Christ follower, because he's the one now that has gone before us. And he's prepared a way. By his Holy Spirit, he says, I've prepared a way. This is the way. Walk in it. I'll show you where to go, and I'll show you what to do. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll show you where to go. All starts with that. Would you pray this prayer with me? We call it a believer's prayer. And if you pray it today, maybe for the first time, or you're praying it today in a way of a recommitment of your life under that purpose and plan that God has for you, reconnecting as a Christ follower. Or maybe you're just praying it today to reaffirm, I'm going to be one of those that leaves a great lasting legacy. I want to encourage you, pray it with me from your heart. And then if you'd like to have further prayer, our staff, our life group leaders, pray with you. And in a moment, I'm going to invite Kyle and Liz to come up, and we're going to pray over them. And then we're going to let them be released, and you can love on them a little bit maybe as you go by them today. We're going to miss them. But you know, God's got a plan. And he's not left us lacking. Matt and Laura are coming. Others are coming. But we'll miss you. But we'll always be connected, because you're a part of us. You are part of our legacy. Make us proud. Pray this with us. Heads bowed, eyes closed, heads up, eyes wide open. It doesn't matter. It's not a religious thing. It's just for you. It's a heart thing. Pray this with me. Say, Father God, I love you. And I thank you that you loved me so much you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. He died for me. He was buried for me. And he rose again for me. My sins are forgiven. I have a destiny. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. See, we believe that if you prayed that prayer, you became what the Bible says is born again. Another scripture says you're an entire new creation. Whole new species of being. And God's got a great plan for you. We'd love to help you with that plan. Communicate with us. Let us know. Email us. Go to our website. Check out the blog. Listen to some of the other podcasts. Come on Wednesday nights, what we call Grow Nights, and learn to grow and develop with us.
Thanks for being a part of the teaching ministry of the Life Church of Bartlesville. Pastors Mark and Linda Turner invite you to visit Life Church at 1607 Swan Drive in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. For more information, call 918-333-6924 or visit Life Church of Bartlesville on the World Wide Web at lifechurchok.org.